All right, good morning. It is so, so good to be with you again in this role this Sunday morning. We're so thankful that you're here. If you're visiting with us, thank you for joining our family for this morning. As the Maryville Church family, we want to welcome you. This is a very loving, accepting, and wonderful community to be a part of. If you're looking for a place to fit in this community, in a church home, this is a great place to be. I know from personal experience, my wife and two children have been here almost 2 years and feel deeply loved. And that we really appreciate all that's been done for us in our time with this congregation. We want to remind you of a couple things coming up as far as our youth ministry is concerned. We are taking donations for the mission trip for 2 more weeks, and that's it. So that will complete our month. The box is on the back in the foyer, on the table, and we will be taking that table down after next Sunday. So we do, if you are going to make a contribution, a donation to that effort, we ask that you do that today or next Sunday, as it will be taken down. There's also a table with Bibles for our seniors in the back, and we've tried to leave that up for over a month for you to write notes of encouragement, to highlight your favorite Bible passages, so that we can give those to our graduating seniors. That will be left up for 1 more week as well. So if you've not gotten around to doing that, you got a week. And I know a lot of us need that pressure. We need to know this is the amount of time I have left and this is when I have to do it. So you have a week left, and we encourage you to do that. We're continuing our series in Joshua today. In fact, I'm going back to Joshua 1. So if you want to go ahead and turn there with me, we're going back a little bit. We've done Joshua 3 and 4. We're going back to Joshua 1 now. We've talked about being at a crossroads. We've talked about remembering what it means to be a follower of God and what it means to know His promises and what we've been through. Now today, we are going to talk about a river, a funeral, and the promises of God. I don't know if you're like me, but how many of you, when you cross the river and you see that sign, "Welcome to Blount County," there's just this peace that sweeps over you, right? There's just this peace that sweeps over you. You've escaped whatever hustle and bustle you've come from your work, from your travels, from your trip, from your vacation. We were in Nashville for the last 3 days. I was a part of a funeral and a wedding and a rehearsal dinner and everything that goes with it. And I just remember late last night pulling into town and just this peace sweeping over me. "Welcome to Blount County. We're home." And hearing my daughter yelling in the back, "Are we going to Maryville? Are we going to Maryville? Are we going home?" was such a good, good feeling. Today I'm really excited to talk to you about hope. Talk to you about the hope of a promise, of the promise that God has given us. And I want us to look at Joshua 1 to see the promise that He gave the people then, and then talk about the promise that He gives us today. On Thursday night, we had a memorial service for a sweet woman named Edith Tucker. She was a very dear woman to me. She was a member of the Creve Hall Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee. I grew up only 2 blocks away from Sister Tucker and her husband, Paul. Paul and Edith Tucker had ministered to the church at Creve Hall since the 70s. He was the pulpit minister, and then when Tom Holland came on, he moved into an associate minister position, but stayed with the congregation until his passing in the 90s. Sister Tucker lived as a widow and teaching classes in that congregation until a month ago. She was in her 90s. She had been living alone for over 10 years. But she had left a lasting impression and legacy on that congregation. As I walked into the church building on Thursday night, there was a different feeling. It was a different feeling walking and seeing all these people that I had grown up with, all these people who had mentored me, all these people who had dedicated their life to serving me and helping me grow and thrive as a Christian. As I was walking through the room, I did not see Sister Tucker. And it really hit me what we were doing, what we were there to do, to honor this woman, to be at a funeral. And as the preacher got up and started to talk about her, he said, "Today we are a church orphaned." She had been the matriarch. She had been the mother. She had kind of kept that church together for all these years. She had seen it grow. She had seen it dip, and she had seen it grow again. There were classrooms named after her. There was a whole preschool named after her. This woman meant so much to so many people in this church. And we sat there and we honored her at a funeral. People looked and thought and kind of had that feeling. that they were an orphan church. They had lost the matriarch. How many of you have ever felt that before? Maybe it wasn't a funeral, but you have felt that loss. You know that feeling. Maybe it was a loss for words, or a loss of where to go, or a loss of what to do next. Or maybe you got news that you just couldn't handle and it hit you like a punch in the stomach, and you were sitting there and the doctor comes back and says, it's cancer. You get a phone call, there's been a wreck. You get a message, she didn't make it. A lot of us have heard these messages. A lot of us have felt this loss. Many of us know what it means to go through the funerals of life, go through the memorials of life, go through the valleys of life where we struggle to understand what God is even doing. And that's where we find the Israelites in Joshua 1. If you go back and look at the chapter before, they've just lost their leader. They've just lost Moses, the man who has guided them through so much, the man who has walked them through the wilderness, the man who has tried to get them to follow God through all their stubborn ways. He is the man that has connected them to the promise for all this time. They get to the promised land and this man dies. The man dies. They haven't even gotten to the promised land, and here they are on the brink of finally fulfilling what it is that God has promised to them, and their leader dies. And they are a nation orphaned. And you know they had to be looking around saying, well, what now? I mean, does this mean that God is leaving us because our leader, who is our connection to God, is now dead? Here we stand on the verge of actually fulfilling, following through, going to the promised land, and Moses is dead. And then there was Joshua, the understudy, the second in command, the Robin to his Batman. And the people don't know what to do with Joshua. They don't know what this is going to look like, and that's where we are in Joshua 1. The people have been mourning for 30 days. A whole month has been consumed with being upset and down and frustrated and asking questions and not knowing what's coming next. And then we see Joshua 1. Read with me as we read the first 9 verses. This is God coming to his servant, to his messenger, and giving him a blessing that he needs to lead a people who are unsure and uncertain of what their God has planned for them. They say, we know what the promise is, but it seems so hollow and empty after we lost the man who was supposed to lead us into that promise. Joshua 1 and verse 1. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Nun's son. He had been Moses' helper. My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I'm going to give to the Israelites. I'm giving you every place where you set your foot, exactly as I promised Moses. Your territory will stretch from the desert and the Lebanon as far as the great Euphrates River, including all Hittite land up to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you during your lifetime. I will be with you in the same way I was with Moses. I won't desert you or leave you. Be brave and strong, because you are the one who will help this people take possession of the land which I pledged to give to their ancestors. Be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all the instruction that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't deviate even a bit from it, either to the right or to the left. Then you will have success wherever you go. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed. I've commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? Don't be alarmed or terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God comes to his servant at a very critical time in his life. These people had lost the man that had led them all the way up to the edge of the promised land. Joshua had lost his mentor and friend. And God comes to Joshua and blesses him. You are the man. You are my man. You are the one that will lead these people into the promised land. The promise is before you. Take the people and lay hold of it. Now Joshua receives this blessing, and just put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of the people of Israel. Allow yourself to feel that hurt and pain of the messages we talked about just a minute ago. The funerals, the voicemails, the calls, the messages you received where you felt that pit in your stomach. Feel that as we talk about these people on the verge of the promised land in an uncertain time. And here comes Joshua to relay to these people sitting there, standing with the pit in their stomach, not knowing what's next, not knowing what's coming. And Joshua receives this message, and he goes and he stands before them. And this is what he says in verse 10. Then Joshua gave orders to the people's officers, go through the camp and give orders to the people. Say, get supplies ready for yourselves, because in 3 days you will be crossing over the Jordan to enter the land and take it over. The Lord your God is going to give it to you as your possession. Then Joshua addressed the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember the command that Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you. The Lord your God will give you rest and give you this land. Your wives, children, and cattle may remain in the land that Moses has given you on the east side of the Jordan. But all you brave fighters organized for war must cross over in front of your fellow Israelites. You must help them until the Lord gives rest like yours to your fellow Israelites, and they too take possession of the land that the Lord God is giving them. Then you may return and take over the land that belongs to you, which Moses, the Lord's servant, has given you on the east side of the Jordan. Then they answered Joshua, we will obey everything you have commanded us and go anywhere you send us. We will obey you in the same way that we obeyed Moses. Just let the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anybody who stubbornly opposes what you declare and doesn't obey any of your commands will be put to death. Be brave and strong. Joshua relays the message to the people, and he says this, God is giving you the land. He's turning to them and saying, look, God's promise isn't dependent on a man. It's dependent on the one who created man. We, like the Israelites, get so lost in God's will being fulfilled through men and women that we forget the power of the one who spoke men and women into creation. We forget the power of the one who spoke the promise. The people rally to this call. They hear what Joshua has to say and they embrace it and they say, we will follow, you will do exactly what you say, and they even give him a blessing back. May God be with you as he was with Moses, and be strong and courageous, be brave and strong, and the people are ready to rally to this call. Let's break down this chapter really quick so we can digest it easier, so we can take something home, so we can understand what do we see in the beginning, the middle, and the end. I feel like we see a funeral, a river, and the promises of God. Does that sound familiar? It really kind of has a New Testament ring to it, doesn't it? Water, you've got death, you've got promise, you've got the receiving of something that is not earned. Sometimes we forget in our funeral moments and our valleys and the things that we struggle with that God has not forsaken us like the people felt in that moment. That your pain is temporary, that your failures are momentary, that leaders come and go, generations come and go, buildings come and go, but God's promises are eternal. As the Israelites experience a funeral, a river, and a promise, so do we. We must die to ourselves, our funeral. We must meet him in the waters of baptism, our river, and we must rise to receive the promise of life with him, our promise. We stand in the same place the Israelites did. A lot of us stand in the same kind of frustration, the same kind of turmoil, the same kind of death valley that we cannot seem to get out of, that we can't get our mind out of, that we cannot see a way through. And if it's your sin, if it's a problem that you've had with God, if it's a mistrust of what he is trying to do in your life, today I want to bring hope. I want to bring a message from God's word that is hope, that is the promise that we have, the promise that we can lay hold of, the promise that is ours to have for eternity. It is our promise, and it is hope. Come back with me to the initial conversation we had. Let the despair back in just for a second. I know we've been talking about hope. I know we've been building. Let that despair back in for just a second, that moment, that hardship, that funeral, that valley, and listen to the words of Psalm 30. Verse 4 and 5, sing praises to the Lord, you who belong to him. Praise his holy name. His anger lasts only for a moment, but his kindness lasts for a lifetime. Crying may last for a night, but, and a lot of us can finish it, joy comes in the morning. How many of us have woken up to that joy in the morning? How many of us have cried through the night only to see God show up in the morning of our lives? How many of us have felt the funeral only to stand at the river and understand the promise that God has for us and hold on to that with all the strength that we have left? Because it is all that we have left. So many of us, this promise is all that you have left, and we're not clinging to it. We've tried to find anything else to fill that hole, to fill that void, to make our promise. We've tried to make possessions or money or relationships the things that we cling to and the things that we hold to. How many of us have wept through Psalm 30? How many of us have held friends through these verses, felt the joy that comes with the morning? Today, I hope you feel the joy of the promise of God. I hope you understand that the morning is coming. If you're in a place of mourning, that you know the morning of joy is coming, because our God is faithful. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9, and I'm going to read this quickly. I always thank my God for you because of the grace God has given you in Christ Jesus. I thank God because in Christ you have been made rich in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Just as our witness about Christ has been guaranteed to you, so you have every gift from God while you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to come again. Jesus will keep you strong until the end so that there will be no wrong in you on the day our Lord Jesus comes again. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. You serve a faithful God. When you find yourself in the midst of the funeral, when you find yourself on the verge of entering into the promised land, and you don't know what it's going to look like, and you don't know what's coming next, and you don't know what God's trying to do through you, and you're so frustrated and you're so confused because everything you thought God was going to do, He did not do, and everything that has happened you did not see coming, that is when our God will be faithful to you, and your joy will come in the morning. Our God is a promise keeper. Today, I hope that you will let go of your trials, your mourning, and your sin, and embrace the goodness of the promise keeper. As the Israelites stood before Joshua and he told them what was next, and they said, "We are with you, and anyone who is not with you, let them be put to death. And Joshua, you be strong and courageous." May we make the same pledge to God today. May we follow Him into the waters. May we follow Him into the promised land. May we take hold of everything that we've been waiting on for so long. And I challenge us as a congregation to have hope that our God is a promise keeper. Today, if you've been stuck in the funerals of life, asking God why for days on end, not seeing the promise that lays ahead, come and lay that burden at the feet of your Lord, and lay your head on the shoulders of your brothers and sisters. Let them pray for you. Let them comfort you. Let them go through these valleys with you. Let them sit in the memorial services of our lives and comfort you through these hard times. Let us walk together as we enter into that promised land. Today, cling to hope and find joy in the morning. If you have any need today, we want to invite you to come during this final song. If you would like to be baptized, if you'd like to enter the water, if you'd like to join that relationship, to enter that promised land, today is the day. If you have anything else going on in your life, like I said, we would love to wrap our arms around you. We would love as a family to take you in, pray over you, and pray for you. We have elders that meet in the back. We have elders that come forward. We have a lot of members here who will meet you at the front so you're not alone. We're so thankful for your presence here today and what it means to all of us and what you mean to all of us. Know that you are loved. Know that you have a God that keeps His promises. And if you're on the edge of the promised land, why don't you enter today as we stand and sing?